Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, with sorrow we announce the passing away of Mrs. Jenny Van Heerden on Friday, April 25, 2014, at the age of 82 years. Condolences, the Lord willing, are scheduled for Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 at the Edens Funeral Home. The funeral is scheduled for Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. Let us sing, therefore, from Psalter 105, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. My end, Lord, make me know. My days, how soon they fail. And to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. And afterwards will be read the law and John 21, verses 1 through 14, 105, 4 through 6.
John chapter 1, the first 14 verses, but first we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the two sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into his ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the nets to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning the mourning family, also Mrs. Harry DePuter, who must have surgery in this week, Mr. and Mrs. Martin van Hagenbos, who have been blessed with a well-born boy in this past week. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, we may hear it in announcements already in this hour of the beginning of life, of the sickness and the misery that is in life, and then also of the end of life. Lord, that thou may look upon those that mourn in a special way, for thou knowest that by nature then we cannot miss one another because of that bond of love, which thou dost still uphold in thy common grace, that we may have one another in this world. And then when those bonds are broken, then there is a casting into great sorrow. Lord, that thou may look upon all those that mourn, and wilt thou give unto them that blessing from above, also upon the calling that comes unto them in a special way in this week that now lies behind. Lord, that thou may give the upholding of thy spirit to go forward in life, but also that understanding of the heart that may know that I also have to die. For this we do not believe in and of ourselves. Lord, that thou may remember also all that mourn in the community also. Lord, that thou may supply for young and old that have to do without mother and father and loved ones, and cause that the missing of one another may lead to a missing of thee. Remember also those that are afflicted. Wilt thou look upon her that must receive surgery in the week to come? Lord, thou knowest all that has to take place. Thou knowest the many fears that may be in her heart and in the heart of her loved ones that are dear unto her. Lord, thou knowest also what is necessary that she may come through it. Wilt thou help the physicians, give wisdom, give skill, but wilt thou thyself uphold in this way, that thou may spare her for her loved ones and in the midst of our flock? And could it please thee yet also to visit her with a token of thy nearness? Therefore thou knowest especially all that lives within. And when she must say that she misses all things, O Lord, thou knowest, thou art able to give unto her everything. And when we from our side are so undeserving, then thou art able to show that it is such a free and such a sovereign grace, that thou mayst show it unto her and unto all of them together. Wilt thou look upon the child also that has been born? Wilt thou strengthen the mother and child together, and humble these parents and grandparents also, in all the blessings that thou dost pour upon them, in the increase of their seed? But may it be also a cause of the bowing of the knees before thee, and the supplications before thee, that they may be multiplied for the welfare of a body and soul together. Lord, look upon all the afflicted and all the widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that have special needs that we may not know of, the difficulties of mind, difficulties of body. Lord, that thou may give also a difficulty in our soul. That thou may give a mourning in our soul. And by nature we are so at ease, and we go on day by day without a care. We go on so as we have been born to a great eternity that can so quickly come upon us. And then it is experienced time and time again, and that death that comes as a thief in the night. But we are so deaf to all the callings that are coming unto us. And there is for us but one hope and one expectation, and that is that thou wouldst come from thine own side. And therefore we may gather together also in this morning, in this thy holy day that thou still givest unto us. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may have in store for us in this morning and in this day an undeserved blessing. And thou knowest that we have forfeited everything from our own side, and that we do this every day again. And when we turn with our vain hearts to seek all that is carnal and all that is worldly, and we are so slow to understand, and our hearts, they are so averse unto thee and unto that way in which thou hast provided for the chiefest of the sinners. Then we need to be taught and instructed by thee. That we may not be as the horse or as the mule that have no understanding. And but wilt thou with thy irresistible spirit come, and may it be even in this thy holy day, to begin with us, to stop us upon our way, and to say, you may come so far, but you may go no further. On that way that thou travelest with that heart in which with which you have been born. Grant to young and old new hearts a heart of flesh that may weep and grieve for sin. Open our eyes to the evil of sin, that it is against a good-doing God, and that we may learn to grieve therefore, and that our hearts may sorrow, and that we may learn to desire and to long, and that sin may be put away, and that we would walk no longer therein, and that our life would become upright before thee, and that we may be given to put away everything that is vain and carnal, that has no profit for our soul, that we may be given to enter into that straight gate, and that we may walk upon that narrow way. And Lord, thou knowest all thy children. Therefore dost thou not say thou hast an afflicted and a poor people, but dost thou not say that they shall also trust in the name of the Lord? Thou knowest where they are in this morning hour. Thou knowest, Lord, that so often they must say that they are not able to trust in thee. Oh, then they wait for thee. And then they say, Lord, wilt thou come? And wilt thou come for the first time? And wilt thou come again? Oh, that thou may feed them from above. And wilt thou lead them with weeping and with supplications? Oh, that thou may give them a little token of thy presence, of thy nearness, of thy favor. And wilt thou open unto those who can see no way anymore, that way, the truth, and the life. Oh, that thou would open unto those for whom that it is so dark, that they may receive a little ray of light. And those that must sit in the prison house, oh, that there may be a little hope, that there may be a little encouragement in this day, as they walk so often their pathway alone, and not able to share the burden with their neighbor, and sometimes not even with those whom they love the most. But could it please thee to give them a place at thy footstool, that they may be able to lay their burdens before thee, that thou would open their heart, that thou would open thy word, and that thou may give a little relief from the burden, and that thou would open unto all thy children who and what they are, for a wretched and a poor and for a miserable creature who has sinned everything away from his own side, and who is able to wander, and who is able to depart, but who is not able to bring himself back again. O Lord, art thou not that great shepherd who does leave the 99 and goes to seek that which is lost? O thou who dwellest between the cherubim, and wilt thou shine forth in the life of thy children? And wilt thou give new ones also to be born in Zion? Oh, that that life that is lived out here below, in the life of every one of thy true church, may be known by young and old here in the midst of our flock. Lord, thou knowest that we do not deserve it. We have departed from thee, and we have left thee days without number. And then it is right if thou wouldst leave us, go our own way, and say, if you choose the world, then take the world, and you can die with the world. But Lord, wilt thou take us for by heart and by hand? Wilt thou take the little ones? Wilt thou take the children? Wilt thou take the young people? And wilt thou spoil them for the world? And wilt thou show them the vanity? Wilt thou show them the emptiness? And wilt thou break down all that is of self? And wilt thou build up in thyself? Oh, show the treasure. Show the beauty. And reveal thyself in the midst of the years. Oh, shine forth. Look upon us all together in this hour. Lord, help us to bring thy word. Thou knowest our foolishness. Thou knowest our ignorance. Thou knowest that we know not what is necessary for thy children. Oh, that thou may open thy word. And may thou give freedom. May thou give liberty. That thy word may go forth. That it may find a place among the pews in this morning hour, a place that thou hast prepared from above. And when there has been no desire in this morning to come up unto thy house. Or when there are those that have stayed away, Lord, could it please thee to bring forth thine arrows of conviction. But when we have come purely out of form and purely out of custom, oh, could it be the blessed hour of thy good pleasure to break a hard and stony heart and to draw unto thyself with the bonds of love. Oh, take us, Lord. Take us for thy own account while it is still called today, forgiving all of our many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 120, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Judge me, God, of my salvation. Plead my cause. For thee I trust. Hear my earnest supplication. Save me from my foes unjust. We announce that the last collection today is for the treasured meditation. The consistory meeting has been changed, and we hope to meet the Lord willing next week, Wednesday, on May the 7th. The following persons have been examined by the consistory and wish to make public confession of faith: in Fort McLeod, Justin John Braun, Amber Lynn Braun, Andrew Less, Alana Nicole Outshorn. In Calgary, Janina Stouchesdyke, Wesley Richard Van Harberden. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by April the 29th. The Lord willing, confession of faith will take place in Fort McLeod on May 3rd in the morning service, and in Calgary on May the 10th in the morning service. Psalter 120. As stanzas 1, 2, and 3. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. He showed himself. That is, congregation, necessary that he show himself. Why? Because if he does not show himself, then we see nothing. If he does not show us to ourselves, then we do not see ourselves. Then we do not know ourselves. And if he does not show unto us something of God, then we know nothing of him as we ought to know, as we need to know of him. And if he shows us not something of his Son, then we are also ignorant of him, and we cannot see him, and then we are blind to him. Thus, we can know nothing but by revelation. Is that also our desire? That he may show himself. And now what do we read? We read, he showed himself again. Is that not a wonder, people of the Lord? That he showed himself again. Is it not a greater wonder? And that he would show himself a second time than he has ever shown himself the first time. What do we read? He showed himself unto his disciples. That is, not unto the world. And then they do not have that privilege of the most precious and beautiful sight, and that is possible by a living man here below after the fall. We can see the beautiful mountains and the beautiful prairies. But now this sight that is shown unto his disciples, boys and girls, will you ask the Lord that he may show you that which is most beautiful? But now what do we read further? We read, and on this wise showed he himself. Thus, there was a particular, there was a peculiar way wherein the Lord has shown himself, wherein the Lord has revealed himself unto his disciples. And with the Lord's help, we wish to consider this way for a few moments in this morning hour. From this word of our text, John 21, verse 1, and the context: after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Thus Christ reveals himself to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. First, the preparation for this revelation. Second, the manner of this revelation. And third, the fruit of this revelation. Christ reveals himself to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. First, the preparation for it. Second, the manner of it. And third, the fruit of this revelation. Thus, first, the preparation for this revelation. Why? Because the Lord does not waste His grace. Because the Lord, He shows Himself, the Lord reveals Himself to those who are in need. Thus, young people, you read something here in God's Word that if you will open your eyes and open your ears a little in the land in which that you dwell, and then you will hear that there is no need, no need confessed for such a revelation. The man, he is able to take out of that word of God and to make an application unto himself. But you read that so different in the life of those disciples. Because we read here that the Lord Jesus, that he was hidden from them. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he must reveal himself. And then you will hear that there is a lightness that is being used to deal with the showing of the Lord, of revealing of the Lord of himself unto his people. Thus, there is no wonder in it. And it is not then to the honor and to the glory of the Lord. But it is so different with his church. The Lord, he makes a way. There must be a preparing that we may be able to receive the Lord Jesus. Why? Because we don't need him. And why don't we need him? Because of who he is. He is the mediator. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. How is that? Do we need his help? Do we need a Savior? Do we need a mediator? Do we need a Redeemer? O congregation, that is why that we can sit all our life long under the proclamation of that name of the Lord Jesus. And we can sit just as hard as the benches that we sit upon. We can sit as stocks. We can sit as stones under the preaching of that name. Why? Because there is no place in our hearts to receive him. That is why there is no form. That is why there is no comeliness. And now if he would reveal himself, oh, then to people in such a way, what would we do? What did they do when he came into this world? Oh, there were multitudes. They came to him, yes. They had no need in their heart. Thus, he is not revealing himself unto such persons, because when he will reveal himself, then he will be magnified. He will be glorified in the heart of his people. And therefore, then we can read in God's word of a preparation to receive him. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Seven of the disciples of the Lord. Where are they gathered together? They are gathered together in Galilee. Why? Well, because the Lord Jesus had commanded them to go there. And not only had he commanded them to go there, but he had promised them something. He had promised them that he was going to come there. He had promised them that he was going to appear unto them. Do you understand, boys and girls, why they were there? Oh, do you understand why they were obedient to the Lord Jesus? Are you also obedient in such a way? Because the Lord, he is promising also to come. But he promises to come in the way of the means. And how is it then that we are using those means? Or do we use those means in the same way that those disciples are gathered together there in Galilee? Because there is a hope, there is a desire there is a longing there. They are looking for something. There they are looking for that time that the Lord Jesus is going to come, that he is going to show himself unto them once again. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Why does Simon Peter say this? I go a fishing. Congregation, then Simon Peter, he becomes tired of waiting. The Lord Jesus did not come immediately. And Simon Peter becomes somewhat impatient. There, those disciples, they have to wait. And you understand that those disciples, they have no power. They have no power to bring the Lord Jesus. No, that is all they can do is ask. They can hope. They can wait there. They are those, they have no right to anything. And especially Peter, he feels that. But there they are in their waiting, and Peter, he becomes tired of waiting. The Lord, he is not in a hurry generally with his people. And why not? Because that time of waiting, that is a time of instruction. We need to be instructed. We need to be taught. And we need to be taught in a special way in that time who we are, what we are. The Lord does not write that in the sand for his children, so that when the water comes that is washed away, no, but he is writing that, he is engraving that with a pen of iron into their heart with instructions that are given to them over the time. Thus, that time of waiting, that is often a time wherein God's children, they are receiving the most instruction. How long have you been waiting? How long have you been asking? Have you been waiting for 5 years? Or 10 years? Or 20 years? Or maybe 40 years? Have you no power? No, we do not ask if you have just been coming to God's house for 20 years, for 40 years, because we read in God's word that I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Then they remained wicked. But we ask, how long have you been waiting? How long have you been praying? How long has there a need been burning within your heart? What do we read of these disciples? I go a fishing, they say unto him, we also go with thee. Thus those waiting disciples, they become working disciples. Is that wrong? No, those disciples, of course, they also have their families, but congregation now in a spiritual way. That waiting, that is not easy. That is not easy. And so easily, that waiting people, they become working people. You say, is that wrong? Oh, not in the use of the means, of course not. And yet there is such a great lesson that needs to be learned by God's children about that working. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. That is, congregation, the fruit of all their work. Nothing. They have labored all the night. How did that begin? Well, that begins naturally with hope, because otherwise you do not go. Otherwise you do not start out. And then slowly, hour by hour, as that night that is going on, and then the hope and the expectation that is decreasing. It is becoming less and less. How discouraging. How frustrating. Until they decide it is hopeless. Until they decide that it is time that we give it up. Because now that morning is approaching. Is that your life too? Oh, how long fishing? How long looking? How long desiring? How long asking? And now, Lord, there is still nothing. There is no fruit. There is no blessing. There is no new heart. There is no conversion. And I get older, and I also go to that time that I have to depart out of this life. And I have to enter into the grave, that I fear that I will die in that same state in which I have been born. Congregation, it is a wonder. It is a great wonder. If all our work may come to nothing, that is the greatest blessing that we can have on all our work. The greatest blessing. You say, how can it be? That I do not understand. But there are so many people. They have such a blessing on their religion. Oh, they are beginning. And with a faithful attendance, that is good. And pretty soon they become pretty much a good member. And congregation, then we become a plentiful giver. And then from here we become a good reader. Pretty soon we have it. A little patting on the back. And pretty soon we are one of God's children. And don't you say anything, because you're not the judge. Who are you? It is between God and my soul. Is that now a people who have nothing? Who have caught nothing? That is a people congregation, they have caught everything. They have caught everything with their religion and tried to take it away. And you cannot take it away. But there is something missing. What is missing? The wonder. What is missing? The miracle. It is altogether missing. What is missing? The honor of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. That is missing. And that people will be missing. They will be missing from that place where those who have learned to magnify and to praise the name of the Lord here below, they will be missing from that place when those people are gathered to continue forever what they have learned to do here below. Oh, it is so different. It is so different in the life of God's children here below. Do they also work? All those waiting people, they are also congregations, so often going to work. But the fruit is so different. What is the fruit of their work? What do they have to experience? Then they have to experience what those disciples experienced. In that night, they caught nothing. Do you know such a life? Or is it so discouraging? Is that so frustrating? That is a life of emptying. That the Lord is taking away everything that we seem to have, that we think to have, that we are trying to build upon. That is a way of increasing self-knowledge. That is not easy because there is nothing good to know about us. Not after our fall. And there is nothing good in all our religion. Because we have to learn also that our religion, that is nothing but filthy rags. Oh, to catch nothing that is so humbling. That is to bring a man in the dust of self-abasement. But that is a way of preparing. It is a way of preparation for the receiving of the revelation of that blessed mediator. It is the way of preparation for receiving a miracle in our life. We read it. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. He was so close. So close. And what was he doing? He was watching. He saw everything. They did not know it, that he was watching. They did not know it, that he was so close. But congregation, not only was he watching, but he was also working. What was he doing? What was he doing, children? The Lord Jesus, what do you think? Can you tell me? I will tell you what the Lord Jesus was doing. Do you know who he is? He is the creator of the heavens and of the earth. And do you know what he was doing that night? While those disciples, they were so busy. He was directing every fish. Every fish. And he was making sure that there would not come one fish into the net of those disciples. No, they did not know that. They didn't realize it. That it was the work of Jesus. To do what? To frustrate all their efforts. That it was the work of Jesus to break down all their work. That it was the work of Jesus to make them poor and to keep them poor. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? Oh, what a question. Have ye any meat? There they were, all night long. And they are working and they are working. And they come up with nothing. And they were experienced fishermen. Thus they have to experience that all their knowledge, that is worth nothing. And when they come to shore, then they see this stranger. And then they had not only a night of frustration, but then that question, Children, have ye any meat? Or that is, as it were, to put the finger on their wound, to touch it, to press it. They would rather there was no one there. They would rather that no one was there that they could speak to. That they could just come back to that shore. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered, No. All there is. There is frustration in it. There is shame in it. No. How is that, people of the Lord? Must you say the same? No. No meat. And then you look back over the years gone by when you have come with the multitude into the house of the Lord with the voice of joy and praise. Oh, then it was like you could eat every time. Then there was so much. And your mouth that sometimes went open. And now, it has been months. It's been years. Years. And years. And then all the frustrating, the waiting, the riddles, the perplexities, cannot understand it. Then not only the experience of it, but that question. Then someone asks you, or maybe you are going to get a house visitation and you say, I would rather actually we didn't have it. Because what am I going to say? I make a profession. And I will be asked how it is. And if I am honest, then I have to say it is not very good. Oh, then they have so little to speak about because they have to come to an end of their own wisdom and an end of their own strength, and they are at an end of their own courage. And the Lord stays away. He stays away. But we see in our second thought the manner of this revelation, because the Lord, he has prepared them for it. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And we have to remember, of course, that these men do not know that this stranger that is standing there is the Lord Jesus. And he tells them to cast the net on the right side of that ship. And we understand that that was something apparently that they did not do. That apparently they fished, and when they fished, they always fished on the left side of that boat. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. Thus cast that net on that side of that ship that you are not used to fishing on. That is, of course, something that goes completely against all what they have been taught. That goes completely against all that they have done all their life long. And then it is natural for them as experienced fishermen to look at that stranger and to say, what is this? That man is going now to tell us how to fish. Why does the Lord Jesus command this? Well, congregation, we cannot but believe that the Lord Jesus commands this to his disciples to teach them a lesson. Because it is written in the Word of God. And that Word of God is the inspired Word of God. That is written for a purpose. That is not just to tell us about the natural life of the disciples. But that Word of God that has a meaning, that Lord, he is giving an instruction. He will give a spiritual lesson to those disciples because they are to become fishers of men. Thus, they also must know how to fish for men. And it will teach them something. That way of grace that is so different than that way of working. That is actually just the opposite. It is lying, congregation, on the other side, as we read here, of that ship. And it is a way so against that nature of man, and that way that man is choosing, even after he receives grace, even after he receives a new heart, young people, oh, to choose that way of grace that is so against our flesh. Cast the net, he says, on the right side of that ship. Oh, that is now that lesson about that free and sovereign grace. To whom? To a people that have been fishing all the night and have caught nothing. Then he says, now take that net and do as I say. Caught nothing? Oh, then you are doing it wrong. Then you are doing it wrong. Cast now the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Oh, what does he say? He says, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. Oh, to whom does he say it? Unto those who labor and who are heavy laden. Oh, he says, on the right side. You labor, you are heavy laden with your own labors to try to enter in. Oh, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All you that thirst and cannot drink, oh, ho, hearken. Cast that net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Oh, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. All that is now that side, that laboring people, they don't fish on. They don't fish on. Because that old covenant that is so bound in our nature from our father Adam. But what do we read here? We read, they cast therefore. Congregation, what a wonder that is. Those disciples are obedient. They are obedient. Oh, what would we say? Fathers, you are an electrician. And someone says how now to do it, and you have been doing it for 30 years. You say, well, I know well how to do it. I'm a farmer for 40 years, and you will not tell me how to farm anymore. And I'm a minister, and I've been preaching for 18 years, and you are going to tell me how to do it now? And those disciples, what do we read? They cast therefore. How is it possible? It is possible because there was a power. There was a persuasion that has gone out with the word of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know it was him. But there was a power that has gone out with it, which has convinced them, that has overtaken, that has overcome everything in them that was resisting. And not only the power, but the Lord Jesus had said something. He said, and ye shall find. O congregation, how is it in the life of the people? The Lord, he has planted such a desire that they may find. Oh, that they may find, that they may find, that they may find. And now there is such a resistance to the way of the Lord because of that old covenant that they cannot find. But now, when the Lord is bringing them back upon the shore after that long night, after that humbling night, when they have to come with empty hands, when they have to come to their wit's end, and when they do not know it anymore. And then the word comes, oh, you shall find all that desire, that need, that they may finally find. Then it is enough. Then it is enough. Then it is enough to overcome all their pride. It is enough to overcome all their resistance. It is enough to overcome everything that stands in the way. And then that people, oh, they may by the grace of God, they may cast on the right side of that ship. And when they may cast it once on that right side of the ship, then what do we read? Oh, we read what follows. We read they cast therefore, and now they are not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And that is now the way it is. We can tell it to you in no other way. Oh, congregation. When a people may only cast it once on the side of that free and sovereign grace of God. Oh, when they may only receive it once so freely out of the hand of the Lord himself. Oh, then there is a catch so that they are not able to draw it in again. Oh, then there is such an overabundance that is received by that people. Oh, we read of Solomon. He says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Oh, then he is swooning under it. His left hand is under my head. And with his right hand, he does embrace me. One moment. One moment, and they receive everything. Oh, it took the whole night to strip everything away. It took the whole night to take away their strength. It took the whole night to take away their wisdom. It took the whole night to bring them in the dust of self-abasement. But it took one moment. One moment to build them up. Oh, it took them one moment to receive the blessing of the Lord. It took them one moment to receive the catch on the side of the Lord Jesus. Let us sing. 297, 2 and 3. They wandered in the wilderness, and by want and hunger pressed. In trouble then they cried to God. He saved their souls distressed. He made the way before them plain. Himself became their guide. He brought them to a city strong, wherein they might abide. 2 and 3 of 297. our last thought, the fruit of this revelation. Congregation, from the side of religious men, and then we catch, we receive everything by our human reasoning, by our human strength, by our human will. Do you still have nothing? You are better off to know that you have nothing than to think that you have something which actually you do not have. You are closer to the blessing because it takes so often, so much time to strip everything away that we build upon and which is not from the Lord. And now it's a wonder if the Lord will keep us from going the way of our own natural hearts. The disciples, they caught fish that the Lord himself brought into the net. That was their experience. They knew that. And to them that became a wonder. A great wonder. And now there is in this the mark. The mark of the Lord's work. Because what we read here, it is the Lord. Who said that? That is the Apostle John. There they are. They have a net so full of fishes. We read 153 great fishes, not one of them small. What a great work now they have to drag in that net to the shore. And John, he is standing there. And he is looking. And then he says, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. How does he know it is the Lord? Oh, congregation, he recognizes something. He recognizes what? He recognizes the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. Because the work of the Lord, that is always the same. The Lord is receiving the honor. And it is going in this manner that the Lord, he is revealing himself unto his disciples, showing himself. That is why our fathers, when they come from house visitation by your family, and then our fathers, they would say this. Sometimes you can listen there. And they may speak, and you go away, and you say, it is nothing. It is nothing. And why not? Well, what have you heard? You have heard of a man, a woman, young person, and they are rising from step to step. And they are going up unto the Lord. And then you say, it is nothing. A it can be that you go away and that you say, who can tell? Who can tell? Why? Because maybe there is in that young man a breaking down. Maybe there is in him a stripping. Then you say we must leave that. Then there are some times that they could go away. Oh, can our consistory also go away sometimes? And to say that is of the Lord. That is the Lord's work. Say, how can they tell that? Can they judge a congregation? John, he said, it is the Lord. And how did he know? Because that work of the Lord, that is always the same. Oh, when that man, that woman, that child, they are brought so in the dust of self-abasement. Oh, when they are stripped of everything. When it becomes so impossible. And then that the Lord comes over. Oh, how man is abased to the lowest. And how God is exalted to the highest. And then it may be felt. Then it may be experienced. It is the Lord. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him. For he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. For they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Peter, in his zeal, he cannot wait. John, he will take care in thanksgiving for that gift of the Lord. But the disciples of the Lord, where do they want to be? Oh, they want now to be with him. They want to be with him. And that is congregation, what is the experience in the life of those to whom he reveals himself. Oh, do you have to say honestly, I see in him no form. I see in him no comeliness. If you are honest. When the Lord will come once in this way, in this manner of showing himself, then you will see a beauty that will draw your heart for the first time in your life to love the Son of God. All that you will desire to be near unto that mediator, that he would show unto you more of himself, that he would speak more, that he would reveal himself. Oh, that you may be near to him, that you may enjoy something of his blessed communion. Because there we read of a feast, and as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish lay thereon and bread. They did not need to provide for him. No, he provided for them. Because when he comes, then he brings everything along, and then he may administer to them out of his fullness. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. What does he say? Bring of the fishes that ye have now caught. Ye have caught. Is that so, children? Did the disciples catch those fish? Oh, you say, with their hands maybe, but the Lord gave them those fish. They knew that well, didn't they? Oh, they knew that so well. Because they tried themselves all night long. Didn't work. And yet, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, the fish which ye have now caught. Thus, he attributes what he gave to them. He attributes it to them. The fish which ye have now caught. Do you know what we read in the Word of God? That God the Father, he attributes the sin of his people to Christ. He laid their sin upon them, upon him, that he may bear it. And everything of his that is now laid on their account, is that not a wonder? Also faith. Because the Lord Jesus sometimes speaks about your faith. And how do God's people see that? Oh, they see that in the same way as those disciples. Yes, that exercise, that faith that belongs to that people in a certain way, but who gave it to them? Then they have to say, Lord, thou gave it to me. Thou gave it to me. Because if thou didst not give it to me, then I could not believe in thee. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. What an invitation. The beginning of that dining. And none of them, we read, durst ask who he was. Knowing, we read, it was the Lord. That is not the assurance of faith. That is the assurance that is in faith. Knowing, they knew it. No one needed to tell them anymore. Oh, that is that certainty that the Lord is giving in that exercise of true saving faith. Congregation, we have to close. What do we need? All we need that the Lord reveals himself. Because that is the only way that we can ever love him. That is the only way we can ever know him. Whom to know? His life eternal. All then we need that way prepared for this. That is not easy. I hope that all your religion will come to nothing. I hope you may catch nothing. And that it may become so impossible for you to be saved, that unless the Lord comes over, it is lost. Because then there is a place for the Lord to open the windows of heaven and to pour you out a blessing so that there will not be room enough to receive it. That is what David said. He says, my cup runneth over. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou instruct us in thy word. O, show thyself, make place for thee, Lord. Take away everything that stands in the way. That is us and all our work and all our efforts and all our merit and all our wisdom and all our strength and all our righteousness. O, strip it away. Make us a poor and a needy people. And wilt thou show us thyself, open thyself, who and what thou art and will be, for a wretched and a miserable creature. Bless thy word. Bring us safely home. Bring us with desire again in this afternoon in thy house. Help him that goes before us. Remember all that mourn. For Jesus' sake, amen. 174, 1, 2, and 3. O all ye peoples, bless our God. Aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 174. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.